You're listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network.
If you or your patients struggle with muscle cramps, spasms, soreness, or restless leg syndrome, you're going to want to hear about our non-opioid TheraWorks Relief. TheraWorks Relief is a clinically proven and published locally acting topical solution that prevents and relieves muscle cramps, spasms, and soreness in the legs and feet. In a research study including patients diagnosed with restless leg syndrome, TheraWorks Relief was shown to reduce symptoms commonly associated with accompanying RLS, including muscle cramps and spasms. Muscle cramps are reported as a side effect of hundreds of prescription medications, from intravenous iron sucrose and conjugated estrogens to statins and diuretics. By managing muscle cramps, TheraWorks Relief supports adherence, helping patients stay on important and often life-saving medications. TheraWorks Relief comes in an easy-to-use, fast-absorbing, non-greasy foam that can prevent muscle cramps and spasms with just a few simple applications a day. To learn more about TheraWorks Relief, go to TheraWorksRelief.com and click on the healthcare professional link.
I'm dubious about marijuana. As states, I get, can pass whatever laws they choose, but I'm not sure we're going to be a better, healthier nation than if we have marijuana being sold at every corner grocery store.
Hey, man.
What?
Then this shit, man.
Mostly Maui Wowie, man.
Yeah?
These high school boys and girls are having a hop at the local soda fountain. Innocently, they dance. Innocent of a new and deadly menace lurking behind closed doors. Marijuana, the burning weed with its roots in hell.
You are listening to The Medical Podcast, a podcast publication, part of the Pharmacy Podcast Network. The Medical Podcast is dedicated to pharmacists, healthcare professionals, and is devoted to delivering accurate, timely, cutting-edge information about medical marijuana. We will bring you the most up-to-date scientific, political, regulatory, financial, and interesting information not available on any other podcast program. Not since Silicon Valley and the technology boom have we seen the likes of any other industry that has grown this fast over a relatively short period of time. The medical marijuana industry is projected to hit the $30 billion mark in the next 5 years. The medical cannabis industry has the potential of helping billions of people around the globe. But at a significant social, economical, and political cost. Our goal is to answer some of your questions, plus heighten, enlighten, confuse, and frustrate you all at the same time. So fasten your seatbelts, keep your eyes on the road, and get ready for some fun. And now, here's your host, registered pharmacist, life student, and medical cannabis professional, Joseph Friedman.
Hello, this is Joseph Friedman with the Medical Podcast. Joseph Friedman with PBI Medical, Medical Cannabis Dispensary in Buffalo Grove, Illinois, and also Canna RPH, consulting firm helping groups around the country that want to get into the medical cannabis industry. We can certainly help with our consulting services. Today, I am thrilled to have with me Dr. Shimona Superstein. Dr. Superstein hails from Israel, and I'm going to go ahead and let Dr. Superstein introduce herself. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here. I'm in charge of Clinical Pharmacy Experience Program at the School of Pharmacy of the Hebrew University in Jerusalem. I'm also in charge of continuing pharmacy education for all the pharmacists in the state of Israel. I'm interested in the how cannabis treatment is going along here in the in the United States, because we have different program, medical program for or medical grade cannabis program, and which is really combined with the new reform, which is that just starting in Israel. Medical cannabis has been around for some years. About 10 years, but it was not regulated. And about 6 years ago, the state of Israel or the government of Israel decided to have Israel Medical Cannabis Agency, which will set rules and regulation with regard to medical cannabis. And we are going to treat medical cannabis patients as regular patients. We are going to treat or look at medical cannabis products as drugs, and everything has to go to a process of good agriculture practice, good manufacturing practice, good security practice, good distribution practice, good clinical practice, and only cannabis that will be from the start, from its growing until all the way to dispensing, will have to be regulated and approved by the Israeli medical cannabis agency.
So if I understand, I mean, we're talking about the major differences between the U.S. and Israel. It sounds like cannabis has been available in Israel for about 10 years, but there's been a change recently on how it's going to be dispensed. So if you can, Dr. Superstein, just elaborate a little bit on how that is happening and when that started.
Okay, it started just recently, a month ago. Cannabis is going to be medical cannabis. Well, we are going to call it medical grade cannabis because it's not going to be just medical cannabis. But
So medical grade means what? I mean, how is that going to be different?
It's going to be different because, as I said, it's going to be all the process of producing, of growing it, producing it, and dispensing it, everything is going to be reproducible. I mean, you have to buy it from a grower that buy the seeds from a known source. The seeds are going to be genetically evaluated, so we know that every plant which is grown from that seed is going to have the same properties as the plant that you will plant and grow in another year or a year before, and the patient will get a product that is coming from the same kind of plant.
So this is very similar to a pharmaceutical manufacturer producing, say, a drug for diabetes, and that drug is going to be the same time after time, year after year, as far as that patient experience. And so is that the goal of this process in Israel?
The goal is also to separate the steps in the in the chain of supply. That means that the grower will not be the one that dispense it or produce the medication out of the plant. Each step of the chain will be done by a different company and different different people.
So a lot of oversight. I mean, agencies, professional agencies involved with producing something that at the end result, the patient's going to have a consistent product. So this is being dispensed out of drugstores?
Up until now, the grower was a patient got licensed for medical cannabis. He would go with the license to a cultivator. He will pick one out of eight that were existed in Israel up until now. And in the cultivation place, they will decide what kind of medical cannabis they will provide. And probably they will provide what they were growing at that time. And they will give him, they will hire nurses to give instructions and directions to the patient. And that's it. And he can also get it by delivery every month, a month supply. And this is going to be stopped now because the grower will just grow the cannabis. And he will dry it probably, but he will not make the products. He will not make the recommendations. So right now, out of the eight farms for cultivation of cannabis, only two got approved for good agriculture practice. That means that what they grow is growing in the same conditions over and over again.
Well, you know, what's interesting about that is, you know, we have in the U.S. at the University of Mississippi, that's the only FDA-approved site for producing cannabis for study. And, you know, the word I'm getting is that it's crap. It's just lousy product. So Israel's going to have something better.
Yes, it's monopoly. Because that's why everything, that's why they decided to change everything, because you could not count on the products that were sold up until now. The girl was the one to sell it, and he sold whatever was business. He was business oriented, and whatever was good for him to sell, and whatever he had at that time, that's what he sold. And it with the new system, you will know exactly how much of THC and how much of CBD will be in the plant from the start. So, and of course, it will be analyzed after it goes, but you will have the plant that would be like a drug. You already know what's inside this plant because it will be genetically engineered.
Okay. All right. Well, that's great. So tell me about what you plan on doing tell me what you're doing here in the United States.
Okay. So because I'm interested in clinical pharmacy, and I'm teaching the clinical pharmacy students how to consult patients, I wanted them to know about cannabis and about cannabis education. And because we are just starting now and replacing nurses for giving this kind of education, the pharmacist will know now when they start dispensing only what they learn at the course that we are providing, but they don't have the experience of having different cases of patients. So I wanted to go to a place, to a dispensary that is run by pharmacists, and to watch consultation given to patient, taking into consideration the other medication that they are taking, looking for drug interactions, looking for drug disease interactions, and helping the patient to choose the right drug for them. We are going to have only generic products. And right now we have only oils and flowers. And only two plants or manufacturers were approved with good manufacturing practice. And right now they are allowed to sell to pharmacies only dosage form, which are oils and flowers, but they are working and researching other kinds of dosage forms. And once they have results that show that there is good bioavailability, good pharmacokinetics profile for the products, they will be approved, and pharmacists will be allowed to buy it and sell it.
So I'm a patient. I'm in Israel. I walk into a drugstore. I talk to the pharmacist. What am I asking for?
You are describing your symptoms, what you are looking for. You have an interview with the pharmacist. It has to be at least 45 minutes of interview. You have to fill forms and tell the pharmacist all your medical history, your family history. For instance, it's contraindicated to give to a patient who has very heavy family history of psychotic diseases.
Okay.
And cardiovascular diseases are important, diabetes, other diseases that cannabis can influence the activity of the regular medications. And the pharmacist is going to help you choose the route of administration, but also decide about the daily dose. Right now, you are allowed to, physicians are allowed to write sort of a prescription for a month. They are giving you a license for a year or half a year, and they write the amount that you are going to take for a month. And they should start low and slow. So the monthly amount will be like 20 grams. You can go up to 60 grams after that. Everything is going to be computerized, so the Israeli Medical Cannabis Agency is going to see that there is too frequent increases in the monthly doses, and they are going to stop it, so the pharmacy will not be allowed to dispense.
So what I heard that was interesting is it's not going to have the same nomenclature that we have in the U.S., so there won't be strains with funny names like Maui Wowie and Ghost Train Haze and Durban Poison. So explain what is going to be the nomenclature in Israel.
Okay, so we are going to divide it into THC-rich products and CBD-rich products. And also it's going to be sativa kind and indica kind. This is the only differences between the products and also the route of administration, the dosage form.
So how would you determine?
But it will be generic. You and the pharmacist will decide what product is good for you from this manufacturer or from the other manufacturer, but there will not be any commercial names to the product.
So how will, you know, one of the big factors that determines sativa and indica is the terpene profile.
Yeah.
So how will the pharmacist know if this information is not on the label to determine, you know, some of this nomenclature that we have in the U.S. that, you know, really, really helps with, it's a hybrid, for example. So it's an indica-dominant hybrid, but it's going to have some uplifting properties as well. How will the Israeli pharmacists know any of this?
Well, they know from the experience, but the agency doesn't rely on the labels that the manufacturer put out if it's not really tested to contain in a reproducible way that these terpenes keep being contained in the product every time you produce it. And still there is a lot of research going on terpenes. I don't think they came to a complete conclusion what is the role of each one of them. We know that there are many more cannabinoids, more than the THC and CBD, which are the major ones. But once it's extracted from the whole plant, so there will be the entourage effect. And unless you prove that it's really there, they don't count on what you say that it contains that. They have to analyze it and really prove that everything which is on the label is really in the plant.
So I'm in Israel. I go into a drugstore. I get, you know, 10 grams of product. I come back 2 weeks later and I say, okay, I want the same thing. So yeah, that same thing will be available in that generic name or whatever it is that I first bought.
Exactly. Otherwise, this manufacturer will not be get good manufacturing practice approval unless he shows that the products are consistent with what they contain.
Okay, well, that's a good answer. Well, tell me about, and so you got trained here in the U.S., right?
Yeah, I got my family from the University of Michigan many years ago. I was the first Israeli to go and study clinical pharmacy.
And why did you decide to come to the U.S. to do that? Why not stay in Israel?
Because we didn't have clinical pharmacy studies at that time.
Okay.
When I studied clinical pharmacy, the pharmacy program in the States was not entry level. It was a graduate program. And that's why I came to the States, to learn something new and start with it. Because I like to start new things and be relevant and to the profession. And I think it's also very interesting.
So I understand that you've published over 100 papers. So this is all in, you know, clinical pharmacy education. Maybe just touch on that for a second.
Yeah, I also got a degree, MPH, Master of Public Health, and my studies were especially epidemiological kind of studies, wasn't a laboratory kind of research, but mainly about drug utilization, about drug-drug interactions. I wrote the first handbook in Israel that contained monographs of drugs used in Israel. And I'm also a consultant to a decision support system which alerts on drug interactions. It's connected to the medical electronic record of the patient and give alerts. And I also wrote the chapter on cannabis drug interactions in the Israeli Bible of cannabis, which is called the Green Book, which also contain all the algorithm for deciding about the dose, in how to increase the dose, what indication, what kind of dose to start for what kind of indication, medical indication, what should you use THC, which cannabis, or CBD, which cannabis, and how to increase the dose. So I think this kind of algorithm is unique to what we are doing, how we are treating a patient. And I hope it will be translated to English and other countries will use this book as a guideline for treating.
Well, we can certainly use some guidelines here. So you came to the U.S., you actually spent a day in my dispensary today. What kinds of impressions did you get, you know, with what we're doing, the products that we have, versus what is going on in Israel or your experience in Israel?
Well, the products that you have are the same kind of products that we had around, which are not allowed anymore. And maybe, you know, one day they will be allowed, but you have to prove that they are reproducible and that they were produced according to all the good practices which the agency require. And I think we are going to learn a lot from patients. I think the courageous thing that the government did is not, by not waiting for clinical studies. That's the problem with medical cannabis. Everybody say that there is not enough evidence-based medicine, but because it was not legally allowed to be used for research, that's why we don't have research. And right now in Israel, there are hundreds of research projects going on, more, I think, than any other place in the world. And but we are not going to wait for the outcomes because we care for the patients. So we decided to start and not wait for the outcome of the studies. Rely on the professional organization to be behind the decision, what kind of indications are going to be approved, and learn from the big data because everything is going to be computerized. And the pharmacists will get all the information, all the reports about side effects, about other drugs that the patient is taking, if it was helping him. And so we are going to learn from this big data.
That sounds fantastic. So you will be here in the U.S. for another few days. You're going to be attending a conference coming up, the Midwest Cannabis Education Conference, which is happening on June 8th and 9th. We're going to be having some world experts from Spain, from Colombia. You're going to be up there talking about Israel for a little bit. And we're just really excited about having you in the U.S. What is the feeling from Israel about the federal government here in the U.S. And the attitude towards cannabis? What is the...
We feel that it's ridiculous that it's still Schedule 1 drug. I mean, it's not a drug. It's Schedule 1. Well, you call drug also... well, in Israel, it's more medicine. We differentiate between the word drug and medicine. You call a drug also dangerous drug is a drug, right? So, but it's not a dangerous drug. There are more dangerous drugs out there, like narcotics, for instance. I think one of the reasons we don't have this big epidemic of addiction to narcotics is because we don't use them that much, and we try to use cannabis and other medications which are not used here in the States. I think the federal government should allow research and should look for good practices like our agency does and rely on big data. They are claiming that they are going to consider big data good enough in certain cases and not just wait for clinical research for other drugs that patients are waiting for them. because there are no other drugs on the market, for instance.
Well, this sounds fantastic. I mean, that's why Israel is considered the world leader in science and advancement of cannabis. And so we're just about running out of time. Is there anything else that you'd like to tell the audience about Israel, about Shimona Superstein, what she's doing? Any parting shots?
I hope that the next time that I come here to the States, I will see more progress and more tolerance for cannabis usage, and that people will not really confuse it with recreational cannabis and look at medical cannabis more as really a medicine that deserves all the accuracy and all the education that other medicines are requiring.
And you know, you mentioned one thing, and this is just one last question, is what is your feeling about adult use or recreational use cannabis?
I don't have any opinion on it. I don't think it's more dangerous than alcohol or nicotine and any other substances. In fact, I was told, because I didn't do the research, that there is less addiction to cannabis, and as long as it's supervised, and of course we don't want to encourage people to use stuff which is not healthy for them, I think maybe the smoking part is not so good, and because of public health we don't really recommend and encourage smoking. But if it will find a way to consume it without having all the smoking problems, maybe it's okay.
Great, great. And, you know, one thing that I heard the other day is, you know, we want to definitely educate youth about this, because youth feels that this is, you know, benign and there's no darn danger to it. And I think, you know, this education can happen in a much better way if it's not in a prohibitionist kind of climate, right? Because prohibition really is hurtful in so many ways, and it prevents education. So with all that said, thank you for being on the Medical Podcast Show, Dr. Superstein. It's wonderful to have you in the studio, and thanks again.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Medical Podcast, part of the Pharmacy Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this podcast episode, please help us by sharing the show on your LinkedIn, Twitter, and other social media networks. If you have healthcare-oriented questions or are a pharmacist or healthcare professional and want to learn more about medical cannabis, please reach out to our team by email. Send your message to medicalpodcast@gmail.com. The Medical Podcast should not be used in any legal capacity whatsoever, including but not limited to establishing standard of care or as a basis for expert witness testimony. No guarantee is given regarding the accuracy of any statements or opinions made on the podcast. Seek all medical advice and or treatment from a certified, registered, licensed physician and or pharmacist. This is not legal advice. Seek out a knowledgeable lawyer about the subject. The Medical Podcast is for general information purposes to generate meaningful conversations about medical marijuana and is not an authority on the subject from a clinical or legal perspective.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.